Your Bibles are open to Colossians chapter 3. We had a wonderful retreat, as has already been mentioned, over at a camp in Kentucky. We've already secured reservations up in Henryville. Is that right, Mark? In Henryville next year, so it's not very far away. And we'll have hotel-type rooms. Families can stay together. Husbands and wives can stay together. So we're giving you a year and a month to plan. Put it on your calendar to be there. You know, it was just a wonderful time just to be together. I got to know a few people a little better than I otherwise would just coming to church. We just don't have the time when we come to church to really get into each other's lives. And so to have really just parts of 2 days to come together, to spend some time in praise and worship, to open the Bible, to sing, to pray, to talk, to fellowship, to eat, was just wonderful. So please, please put that on your calendar for next year, October 16th and 17th in Henryville. We've been in the middle of a study on Colossians. I didn't prepare a PowerPoint because we were gone all weekend. I normally use that time to build a PowerPoint, so we're just going to go old school. We're going to open the scroll and read from the book of Colossians. As I shared with you, often Paul does this. The early part of his letter, he sort of uses that as a time to teach for maybe some theology, some doctrinal things. And then the last part of his letter, he uses that for practical things, practical applications, how to live. Now that you're in the kingdom, now that you're a part of God's rule and reign in your heart and in your mind, how should we live? We saw that in the book of Romans. We see it in Ephesians, Philippians. We see it here in Colossians. So chapters 1 and 2 are sort of theological in nature. He talked about the supremacy of Christ, how awesome and supreme Christ is over all the earth. And then he talked about at the end of chapter 2, since you were buried with him, since you died with him at the beginning of chapter 3, since you've been raised with him, how do we live? How do we live in the kingdom? What does it look like now that you have died and been raised with Christ? And we got into chapter 3 last Sunday, and now I think we're down to verse 18. How do we live in the kingdom? What we have to understand is that the Bible was not written to us, but it was written for us. Paul writes this letter to the church in Colossae. He doesn't write it to the North Alona Church of Christ, but it is for us. It's for us to glean all the wisdom from it. And we have to understand that we're reading with 21st century eyes, modern eyes, and we want to go back and say, what would this mean to the original readers? What would it mean to the church in Colossae when the Apostle Paul writes this? The word of the Lord says this: wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Let me just stop there. In the first century, at the time that Paul is writing this, wives and children were nothing more than possessions. Nothing more than possessions. A man's wife was there to serve him, to please him. That's not the way that God designed things, but that's where things had evolved, okay? We need to let the Bible say what the Bible says, okay? We don't want to interpret it through our culture, through what our world says is good and right. We want to let the Bible speak, and let the Holy Spirit interpret for us. Wives, children were little more than possessions. A man could divorce his wife for any reason. If he got tired of her, if she burned the toast, he could get rid of her and get a new one. So in light of what we understand that first century mindset to be, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, far from subjugating women, it elevates them. It brings them to a whole different realm in the eyes of a believer. We don't treat our wives, we don't deal with our children like the world does. But the gospel elevates. And so when he says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Let's look over back at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 is one of the verses we go to maybe shine a little bit more light on this. Ephesians chapter 5. It's kind of quiet in here this morning. I'll make a little noise here in a minute. Ephesians 5, beginning verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, this is not the husband and wife relationship that he's talking about here, per se. You have to go back to verse, let's start in verse 15. Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The submitting to one another goes back and picks up those things that we just talked about. In submitting to one another, speaking with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in our hearts, giving thanks in everything, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's what the body of Christ, that's what kingdom life looks like. And so now he goes into wives. Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Our modern world does not like when the Word of God speaks to us in this way. We don't like to submit. Men, we don't like to submit. We don't want to submit to anything. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, right? We live in America. Nobody tells me what to do, so I don't want to submit to anybody. Wives, we're like, why should I have to submit to anything? Wives, submit to your husband. Listen, this is what the Word of God says to us. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle, or any blemish, but holy and blameless. Look at this, verse 28. In the same way that Christ loved the church, in the same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. So we go back to the book of Colossians, and Paul tells the church there. Wives, submit to your husbands. There is something beautiful about coming under the protection of someone else. When you know that someone else is looking out for you, is protecting you, is providing for you, there is comfort in knowing that this person is going to take care of things. Am I right? Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. We don't need to be afraid of that. We don't need to be ashamed of that. We need to celebrate it. And husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Just as, say that with me, just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Died for her. Shed his blood for her. Purchased her with his own blood. I don't know a godly woman on this planet that would have trouble submitting to her husband if her husband loved her as Christ loved the church. I just don't think a woman would have a problem with that. A man that would love her, that would lay down his life for her, that would do whatever it took to present her holy, pure, radiant before the Lord. Would you have trouble submitting to a man like that, women? Men, we have... That's a broad stroke. I won't say that. Some men have not understood what the Bible is saying. I knew a man in Alabama years ago. This is not a preacher story. This is true. I knew a man in Alabama. I said it. He lived. I don't know where he lives now. He would leave the Bible open with verses that were highlighted and underlined for his wife to read about wives, submit to your husbands. Ephesians, Colossians. He would leave those passages open on the table, highlighted and underlined, so that his wife would read those. She said that she would fold the laundry sometimes, and if she didn't fold his socks just right, he would come in and take the drawer and empty it all on the bed, just empty all the clothes on the bed, so she'd have to refold them the proper way. As you can probably guess, those two people aren't married any longer. He did not understand what the Bible meant. Husbands are never to lord over their wives. I'm the head of the household. I'm the man. God put me in charge. But also, having said that, men, we are to lead our households. Servant leadership doesn't mean I don't want to make her mad. You know, happy wife, happy life. So I'm just going to do whatever it takes to make my wife happy. That's not servant leadership. You are called to lead your family. You are called to be the spiritual leader of your family. You're the head of your wife just as Christ is the head of the church. What does Christ do for the church? He leads us. He guides us into all truth, into righteousness. We as men are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I just don't know of a woman that would have a problem submitting to a godly man that loved her like Christ loved the church. Men, we need to be the husbands and the men that God wants us to be. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. You understand what that would have, how that would have spoken to the first century church? To hear that Husbands, you're not to be harsh with your wives. Why would Paul write that? Because they were being harsh with their wives. They weren't treating them like Christ treated the church and loved her. So he had to write to them. Wives, submit to your husbands. They weren't submitting, maybe. So you need to do that just as you would submit to the Lord. Same thing with the children. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Obviously, in everything doesn't mean if they told you to do something wrong or sinful. No. We don't do that. Only in the Lord. But children, obey your parents. And then he says, Father, don't embitter your children or they will become discouraged. I have to confess, I have not always been that kind of father. There have been times that in the lives of my children, especially with my youngest, that I said things that discouraged her. I didn't mean for it to be that way. And some of it's because I didn't understand the way that she's wired up. I didn't understand how she was made. All I knew was how I was wired up and how I was raised. But that didn't work with her. And fathers, let me say this, it's true for all parents, but especially fathers. The words we speak to our children carry so much weight. They carry so much weight. A casual, offhanded remark can be so discouraging to our children. And on the flip side of that, praise and affirmation can mean so much. Much more than you even realize. Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. What a wonderful job you did. That's excellent. That's amazing. Those kind of words mean so much to our children. Our words carry so much weight. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Some of us are still carrying around scars from our childhood because we were discouraged. Some of us are still carrying that weight. And that's a heavy weight. And we don't want to visit that onto our children. Notice what he says here, beginning in verse 22. And this is actually longer than anything else he talks about. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. What are you talking about? You're addressing slaves, and we should obey our earthly. We shouldn't be slaves in the first place. This is oppressive. No, not just when they're watching you, so you can gain favor with them, but even when they're not watching you, do it with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord, because this is how people in the kingdom live. You're a child of God, but maybe you're still a slave. You have to live differently now. Whatever you do, work at it. He's still talking to slaves here. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, just as if you were working for the Lord, not for men, not for your earthly master. You work just like you're working for God. How would you work for God? You wouldn't cut the corner. You wouldn't shirk your responsibility. You would do it well, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. not just your earthly master. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Why do you think Paul spends so much time there on slaves? Fathers, he hits wives and husbands and children. Fathers, and now slaves, he puts a little more ink to the page. Why do you think that is? If you fast forward a little bit and go to chapter 4, verse 9, well, verse 7, Tychicus is going to tell you all about me. He's an associate of Paul. He traveled around as a representative with Paul and of Paul. In verse 9, he is coming with Onesimus. Have you ever heard that name? Onesimus. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. What do we know about Onesimus? He's a runaway slave. We read about him in the book of Philemon. Philemon, guess where Philemon lives? Colossae. He's a member of the church in Colossae. So Paul writes this letter, and he includes this about slaves. Parents, have you ever said something in the presence of your child? You were speaking to someone else, but you said it in hopes that your child might pick up on it and learn a little bit of something from it. You know what I'm saying? You're not talking exactly to them, but you say it for their benefit. I think that's what Paul does here. He writes this letter to the church, and he's sending it. Tychicus is going to be going. Onesimus is coming with him. Onesimus is a runaway slave. And Paul is warning him to hear these words. He's sending him back to his master, Philemon, who lives in Colossae. He probably penned those letters at the same time, the letter to Colossae and also to Philemon. And he says, you got to work for the Lord, just like you're working for God, not for men. You're going to go back, you're going to be a slave again, but you're going to work like you're working for God. And then he says this, masters, provide for your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. You see, this is what the kingdom looks like. We don't live the way the world lives anymore. We treat each other with kindness, with respect. Parents, you don't embitter your children. You don't discourage them. Wives, you have to submit to your husbands, as to the Lord. And husbands, you've got to love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Love them just as Christ loved the church, because that's what the kingdom looks like. We've come under the rule and the reign of God, the rule and the reign of Jesus in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. So we don't live the way the world lives anymore. We're kingdom people. We treat each other with respect, with love, loving and forgiving. That's what the kingdom looks like. That's what we need to look like as a church. And that's what the world needs to see when they see us. Christ living in us. That's the word for today, church. I want us to be kingdom people.